Hello and welcome to another edition of The Drop from Verge Magazine. I'm your host, Andre Dixon, joined by my friends, my pals from across the seas. I'm the only one stuck in the UK. These guys are in sunny Miami, but I'm not going to be too bitter about that. I'm going to introduce these guys one by one. Let's start off with Jensine. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Had a great South Beach weekend.
I know. It looks like it's popping over there. Completely different over here.
Yeah, you're missing out a little bit.
Right, and Kamini, how are you?
I'm good, just celebrating my birthday.
Oh, yes, we've got a happy belated birthday to Kamini. How was your birthday? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was fun, except for the traffic because of the spring breakers. But we did it, and we made an effort.
Fabulous. It looked amazing. It looked like everything that I would wish I was at, but couldn't get over there. And plus, I wasn't invited. Chris Braithwaite, aka DJ Genesis. I've actually got some support here this week because last time I was fighting a good fight for the guys, but I've got my brother here. How are you, sir?
We are in the building, man. It feels good to be here. I was disappointed I couldn't make the first one, but the first one was amazing. You guys had a lot of fun, but I'm here. I got your back, man. They were ganging up on you, man, but I got your back here. And you better come with some good points, but I might have to turn against you. You know what I'm saying? You know how that's on Long Island.
Treachery is started already. So let's get going. We've got Camille who's going to be coming in a few minutes' time. But let's just start off with this Piers Morgan and ongoing thing. But Sharon Osbourne decided to get involved this time. And, from what I know, obviously I'm going to bring Camille in because she actually watched the whole actual episode of this. But it came across that Sharon Osbourne was being quite dismissive to her her colleagues on the talk. So Kamini, you watched the whole thing. Tell us what happened.
Well, they were explaining, like, I think Cheryl like insinuated with what happened. The way he speaks about Megan is like that he's is racist, and her whole reaction is like what her emotions took over. You can tell, like, I never even seen her behave that way, but it's like, you know how a reaction, like if somebody's talking about your friend in front of your face and then you feel like you have to go and defend for, like, no, you're wrong. Like, it's not, like, I think that's what happened to her in that situation. Now, I just know Piers, he is problematic, and he's a bully, like, especially when it comes to Meghan Markle. He does dismiss everything that she says it's a lie, and then he's also friends with all the media in London or Britain or whatever it's called.
So, wow, whatever it's called. That place over there.
I don't know.
Over there.
Yeah, I don't know
that little place over there, that little island,
that island up there,
island
over the pond.
Or whatever. We forgive you.
Go on.
But yeah, so I don't know. I just know him as very problematic, and like I the way he's portrayed and some of the things he says, like I most of the time don't agree with. I'm thinking, but to just like on her, why she probably said that is, I feel like just based on like them calling him a racist, and Cheryl, she handled herself really well because she has no choice. If her being black, I think if she did that in the same way, like let her emotions take over, I think the story would be different, because right now they're investigating. So the show is on hiatus right now. So there's no new episode airing yesterday or today.
Okay.
So they have to investigate it, because Sharon said what got her in trouble was that she said her neck is on the chopping block, something like that. And that's what they're investigating. Like, why would she say that? And like, what is she insinuating by that? But I thought she was just getting emotional because that's her friend.
We before we give our reactions, Camille, come in. How are you?
I'm good. Sorry I'm late, guys.
No, don't swear. There's no late here. It's a community. Anyway, right. what I wanted to say, just for my little quick take before I pass it over to you guys, is that I felt that the co-host, Cheryl. So we don't have this show here, so please forgive me. But so Cheryl, I felt, kind of didn't make strong enough points about what she's actually upset about. I don't think the actual, her argument wasn't he gaslights, he's dismissive, which leads to, you know, racists or people that are in, not interested in any form of like sensitivity towards any issues of people of color, being dismissive and or gives them a green light to be able to be like, you know what, you know, these guys don't know what they're talking about. I mean, he does write for a very much right-wing newspaper. He has a lot of like right-wing views, but he wasn't always like that. He was in the most liberal paper that we had, which is like, you know, which is called The Mirror. And he was, not too long ago, he was like the people's champ. So since Trump came in, as I said last week on the show last week, he has put himself as this like kind of intolerant host, a friend of the right wing. I don't know what why he's chosen to be like this, but he wasn't always like this person.
So, clout chasing.
Yeah, it's kind of not in a popular clout chasing. It's the way to get yourself cancel chasing. That's my view of it. But Gentine, what's your view from what you know of this situation?
So I don't watch the show regularly, but I did see clips from it. And what I saw was Sharon's, from what I understood, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong, she was saying that she didn't agree with what he was saying, but she was trying to defend his freedom of speech. So she didn't say that she necessarily agreed with him. And therefore, I think that's what caught her off guard. She wasn't understanding why she was getting those accusations. Am I correct for assuming that, guys?
You said the right thing about, like, she did say she didn't agree with what he said, but what made her get all emotional was the racist bit.
Right. And I did see her. She did, and I haven't seen her. She's been a TV personality for so long, and you know, she's had her reality shows, and we've seen her in many different situations. I've never seen her. She was almost like frantic and caught off guard. And like Cammy said, she was going to take a break, and the show's on hiatus. I think it's going to come back on tomorrow. But they are doing an investigation, but she won't be coming on. So I don't know, the drama is getting thick in here. One interview has caused like a ripple effect of several different celebrities on the situation.
I'll come to you in 1 minute, Camelia. But I was saying to Chris just yesterday when we was discussing after another show, I was just letting him know that, you know, you guys over in the States are actually talking about it a lot more than we are in the UK. Like, they've moved on to a different subject over here. So it's funny to me that the controversy that this has caused and continuing to cause, even though that in the UK, where it's obviously, you know, where we'd actually got to deal with this situation, they've kind of moved on as traditional British people do. But Chris, what's your quick take on this?
My quick take on it is a bit of everything. Is a bit of cultural war over here in America. We like to politicize and make everything about politics and polarization. So obviously, if you have the royals talking about race, that particular show is going to want to ask the only British person, how do they feel about a certain individual? I mean, I could understand Sharon feeling like, I'm sure that's not the first time she was probably asked about the situation being in America from over there. A lot of people just want to understand what's going on. And then obviously on the show, she wants to defend her friend, probably goes too far, but maybe not her understanding. And then she should understand. She's been over here for a long time. She should understand how these things go and why people talk about certain things. But I think she probably felt like she was on an island, like London and the UK, Cammy. You know, so she was on an island, and Pierce is her friend, and she felt like she probably had to defend him. But obviously, over here, those things are polarizing, and Pierce probably isn't in a position in the eyes of many Americans, especially liberals and those that probably view that show. He's not probably looked at in the best of light right now, because I'm sure most of those people, like I say, probably defend Megan. And so his comments, and especially where he's going right now, probably ain't the best place that they want to see Pierce go. So I think she put herself kind of in a catch-22. She got emotional, like Cammy said, and probably would want to take that back and probably just want to listen. And then off camera, probably have those particular kind of conversations and blow ups if she felt like. But older lady, what you gonna do? I love Sharon Osbourne. I'm not gonna lie. If you have to deal with Ozzy for all those years, yo, you know, and yeah. those kids, I mean, I love Sharon. If you have to deal with Ozzy, you know, she's probably emotional over that, you know, and she's just taking it out on that. If I had to deal with Ozzy, I'd be emotional too.
I mean, I saw the cursing and stuff when they were trying to go to break and all of those types of things. So I was thinking, oh, well, this is getting kind of heated. Whereas, like, again, like over here, I've seen like people just moving on to it. It's a semi, you know, well, very serious situation, but nonetheless, like, there's no follow up from last week's outrage. But Camellia, you're coming in hot here. What's your take on this?
All right. So first of all, Dre, when you said, you know, London is not even talking about it anymore. that was my British
voice. Love it.
I just think that that's part of the media kind of trying to control what is being said about the royal family. I think it's easier to talk about something else or to move on to something else so that it's out of sight, out of mind. But are we talking about it? However, here in the U.S., especially the racism part, it's hard to let go because it's experienced a lot here in America, you know, especially with the Black Lives Matter movement and everything. I think when I had actually watched the clips on YouTube, the full thing, because I was like, oh, this is juicy. I can't just watch like the clips. I need to watch the whole thing. So I did. And first of all, yes, Sharon was very emotional. Cheryl kept her cool. And I think it's hard for anybody to kind of keep their cool or not get emotional when you're being accused of something that you know you are not, or being accused of something that you know you didn't do. And I think that's the case with her. I think low-key, everybody thought the fact that Sharon was defending Pierce, that makes her a racist too. Anyways, I did watch the clips, and I watched the Daily Britain or Good Morning Britain or something?
Good Morning Britain. Mm-hmm.
Good Morning Britain. So there was Alex and there was Pierce, and I saw that whole conversation too. And I saw Pierce was very dismissive of what Alex was trying to say when he was making his point. And even when it comes to Meghan Markle, Pierce was so dismissive about the whole racism comment, about the skin color comment. And I think the fact Cheryl actually, I don't remember who was it, if it was Jensen or Cammy says that, or maybe you, Dre, that you said that Cheryl didn't really, or Genesis actually, I mean, Chris, that you really didn't get to.
It was one of us. It was one of us.
You named it every day. Yeah, one of us.
One of us.
That you guys said that Cheryl didn't make her point of what was really bothering her, but she actually did. She said the fact that Pierce can be so dismissive of the remark about the color of the child can make him, you know, that comes off as racist. No, you didn't say anything outright that was racist, but the fact that you're able to dismiss something like that so easily makes it seem that it is something racial that you are accepting. So that I don't think that's what Sharon was understanding either. And then, you know, just like I said, just being accused of something you feel like you're not, then you do get a little emotional. I mean, if you've been in a relationship and you're being accused of cheating and you're not cheating, you get emotional. Or a sibling to sibling, your mom is taking another side and you're being accused of something, you know, you get emotional. I think we've all been there. And I don't think that, I see a lot of people canceling Sharon. I don't think that's the right thing to do. I'm not canceling her.
Oh, so they're canceling her now?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think that I don't think that she should be canceled for this. I think, we should investigate, maybe educate her better.
Education, like
But I mean,
in the comments too, when everybody wanted to cancel her, her whole thing is she's grown enough. She should know what was said that was racist. And I'm like, sometimes, I'm sorry, but white people they're so oblivious to what they do. They don't know what they're doing or what they're saying is racist. Sometimes they do need to be educated as old as they are. And maybe even if you feel like they should know better, they really don't. Like, that's a conversation that needs to be had with them. We can't just cancel them. We need to educate them.
You know, she did say, she's like, then help me understand. I remember her saying that. Help me understand what it is I'm saying.
And then everybody in the comments was like, well, that's not our job. But then it's like, it gets complicated. But the whole point is that
you know, should she be canceled? I don't think she should. And then to play up what Camille said about how Dre said she didn't, Cheryl really didn't defend the point. Yeah, you got it, because I think you have to be a little bit of a higher intelligence to make that you interpreted that, Camille. But I think if somebody who doesn't want to interpret, they just want to hear it, because you as a TV personality need to be clear. What I got from it was that she just said that it's not so much what you say, it's like your actions. And to somebody who was just grew up white and a whole, all your friends white, everybody white, like, you can't you just don't understand that. What you mean action? Like, you know, like you need to be specific, because that's not educating somebody who just lives like just this whole white life. Like, that is not a good explanation. And I'm sure Sharon, like when they said they cut to break, they're probably still cursing at each other, because if I was Sharon in Sharon's shoes, I would still be kind of like, what?
I think we just live in a world where now that urban people or black people are still called upon to be a little bit more patient, you know what I'm saying? When we've obviously been through a whole lot, and we're just like, don't you get it? You're kind of the ones that kind of put the suppression in and orchestrated this whole system. But a lot of them, in like conversations I have with Dre, a lot of them are oblivious. A lot of them don't know. A lot of them are just victims or beneficiaries of the system, and they don't really know what it is that the system puts on black and brown people every day. So with that understanding, and the more that black and brown people tend to understand that particular concept, that small little nuance, like it took a lot, and it took me and Dre having a lot of conversations to really understand this concept of like, it ain't all of them. Cause I would come out and be like, white people's like, it ain't all of them. You know, he would have to come out and tell. So I'm like, I hear that. So you have to really break it down to be like the constructs and the whole system of it is what we really want to fight. And a lot of white people don't understand how sometimes their dismissiveness or their ignorance or their silence is complicit with that system. Right. And that's how the system actually stays stronger. Mm-hmm. So that's education part that is sometimes hard for them to even understand. Cause they're like, how am I just living my life being a part of the system? And that is where it gets really murky. And we have to be a little bit more tolerant, a little bit more patient, and it sucks. And I hate it. But if we do it, I think it'll be, and Dre will probably notice, he's around all the white people all the time. So he has to deal with that world probably more than maybe some of us living in Miami. But I know it can get crazy, but I'm patient with Sharon. She wants to know, she wants to learn. So
yeah, I mean, Gentine, I'm sure you guys agree. I mean, this is a great, great feisty start to our second show. I'm loving this. Very punchy. I think Piers, I was going to say to Gentina, Piers, I think, started this stuff, because obviously this is all based from him being rejected, from a date that he probably paid a lot of money for drinks for and didn't get
anything
that he was expecting. You know, if I buy this filet mignon, then, something's going to pop off after this. I'll tell you that now.
I'm joking,
just in case
that.
Anyone wants to cancel me. I'm joking. Well, go on.
No, I was gonna say, I saw that clip, and I saw him describing that clip. I forgot who the interview was with, but he was pretty hurt about it. I mean, it was looking back at it now, it was pretty funny, because he was like, and I never saw him again, saw her again. And I think that night he had Megan had went and had a drink with Harry. So
that's what I'm saying.
No, they met at an after party. I think at an after party where the free drinks were.
Well, you see. Well, now we won't find out.
So hold on, wait, talk about. Let me get it straight.
Yeah.
So
Pierce takes a party.
So Pierce takes her out. Probably takes her. Let me put this in Miami terms. So Pierce takes out the sugar and downtown Brickell. You know, sugar. It's Komodo or something like that, right? And then I guess. Yeah, but I'm saying he takes her out there, something nice, beautiful view. And so I guess towards the end of the night is the first day, so it's kind of like, all right, gonna go our separate ways, but he probably wants to
I don't know if she knew it was a date. I think
I know, but whatever. Don't matter. He takes a. She ain't going nowhere cheap, obviously. So everything looks like it's gonna be a first date, no matter where they go. You know, you can't just really coffee her for the first date. You know, yeah. You know, you gotta really take her somewhere. So her go in there to Sugar. Let me get it straight. So at the end of the night, after doing all that expensiveness, they kind of go their separate ways, and she doesn't even go home. She goes to like Blackbird Ordinary and meets Harry. Something like that. Nice. which is a dope club in Miami. That sounds like the most Miami thing I've ever seen or heard in my life, bro.
She's probably texting Harry during the date. That's for sure. Like she's like, oh, he's like, come on, leave this fool. Come on, come to our party. Come where I'm at.
Harry sound like me. Harry sound like it's something I do. You do all the work, man. You pay for all the food. You feed her. You make sure she good. And then we going to go have fun out later, here with my
Later. Adults, yeah. Let's get on to this conversation. Actually, it's a nice little segue. Where obviously Cammy last week got my full attention towards the end of the show when you stated that. Well, let me let you take it away. I'm not going to ruin your introduction. Go on. Let's let you start off with the first subject we're going to discuss.
Okay, so last week we did a little ad lib. I knew there wasn't going to be a second date when, and I said when he asked you to pay half for the first date. So, but before I get into that whatever, because we were talking about Megan on the date with, do you think that though women take advantage of the fact that, because Jensine was like, oh, but it probably wasn't a date. But do we take advantage and use that as an excuse when we know damn well in his head that,
for sure.
And I think it's a lame excuse. I don't support women that do that, by the way, that in their head, they're like, oh, it's business. But you know, like where he's taking you, what it's about, what his intentions are, because I'm sure he texted you a few times before this even happened. So you know well in your head that he's going to see it as a date.
I'm going to ask you all three of you quickly.
Point that out.
I'm going to ask all three of you. Has there ever been a situation where you've been like, oh man, I've always wanted to go to this restaurant, but I have to go with this guy, but the restaurant's mad expensive and I really don't want to be paying all that money, but I have to go with this guy that I'm not really that interested into, but he's going to take me there, so I'm going to go. Have you guys, hand on heart now, confess to the world, have you done that? Have you gone along with that date knowing that that you're playing him in some form of way?
I haven't done it, but I thought about doing it because I got offered. But then I'm like, I'm not soulless, so I didn't do it. But I have thought about it.
It's not my personality to just like use somebody. I'm like, I feel like that's childlike too. Like you're an adult, like. You know, you work, you can afford your own food. So why are you having some man pay for your food if you have no interest in him? And you know what?
You don't need to spend your money. Spend your money? What? You don't have to spend your money, Jen. You could go with the guy and just be like, look, let me make it clear before you get to dessert that nothing's happening and you're a nice guy and da da da.
Well, I speak out of experience when I can say I do not recommend anybody doing this because I learned it led to a very toxic relationship. And part of the reason was I did want to experience certain things. I wanted to get flued out and I did, and it wasn't worth it.
Whoa, Chris.
It was a very toxic relationship and I went to expensive restaurants and it wasn't worth where I thought it was gonna go, but that led a little longer than it wasn't just like a one or two date thing.
That's the thing. Sometimes I feel like, oh my God, if I do it, then I'm going to have to do this and this and this, and I'm going to get wrapped up. And I'm like, I can't bother. Just forget it.
Isn't worth it because what ended up happening was it wasn't just a one thing. It was like an almost like you were obligated. Like if you were going to get something, you had to give something in return. And what I was giving wasn't worth what I was getting back. So in the grand scheme of things, and now like, and I was younger back then. So lesson learned for me, and something I would never do again.
I would say,
and I can just do it myself.
Congratulations to you. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully you pay for the first date the next time, right? Since you got your own money, right? No?
I didn't pay. It should be whoever asked who on the date. So if Gentine asked the guy on the date, she should be kind of expected to pay. But then I feel
never happening.
Like, he should draw for his wallet too.
Yeah.
I do like your point in terms of like whoever acts. Because there are sometimes when I was dating or whatnot, when you would obviously, if I ask somebody to go on a date, I expect to pay for everything I am asking for, her entertainment. You know, not her entertainment. I said that wrong. Sorry.
Chris speaks for himself.
I'm asking to be a part of the night, you know what I'm saying, as we entertain the night and, you know, and asking to be a guest on this night. She shouldn't have to worry about finances or whatever the case may be. But there have been times when someone has invited me and be like, hey, you want to go to the movies? Or blah, blah, blah. And you get there, right. they start looking at you like, oh. And I'm like, at that particular point, for real, I'm like, no, you asked me to come. Because I have the same kind of understanding when I ask somebody to come, honestly. So I was caught up in that one time. And I was like, oh, I'm supposed to still, I didn't really want to come out. But you said was vibing, right. Whatever the case may be. So that was a bit of a misunderstanding back in the day. But moving forward, if anything, that's going forward. And I am asking the opposite. I expect to pay for everything. I also understand, like the girls are saying, like Jency said, elites, there's leverage in those particular type of things. You know, going back to, I think the original question is, how do you even know it's a date? You know, have they been in comfortable situations? Oh, girls love to eat. And if you sometimes say a certain restaurant to a girl, they'll forget who they're with for a minute until after the date. And then they're like, oh, damn it. They'll pay for the consequences later, you know?
Chris, let me just jump in there just to make sure that we keep you guys in bounds. So we're talking about who should pay on the first date, you know?
Let's go to that first question. Who should pay on the first date? The guy. Mm-hmm. And from what I come from, I guess I'm old school. The guy should pay for the first couple of dates, I think.
I'm going to ask you this, Chris, just real quickly. So just in the same situation right now, 2021, everyone's free, vaccine free. The world is a nice place to be able to live in again.
Yeah.
So the girl says to you, hey, we should go to the movies. And you go, yeah, cool. And she says, all right, I'm free this Saturday, 5:00. All right, meet me this year. You turn up there, are you still expected to pay for that date?
In my head, I am preparing for anything because of obviously past situations, but I'm not going to lie to you. I am not expecting to pay for both of us if she asks me to meet her somewhere. I am actually probably in this whole analyzing brain of mine to see if the whole pattern is consistent. You ask me, you pay. Then what happens with that, I would probably take care of the food or the other entertainment or the add-ons of the event. But you got to take care of the main meal, you know? So we go to the movies, you sort out the movies, I get snacks, which are probably more expensive than the movies, right?
I'm gonna ask you guys just to tell the truth one by one. So Camila, if you go for a meal, you know, if the guy suggests, say, hey, we should go out for dinner sometime, you go, yeah, cool, I'm free, 8:00, you know, and he suggests a restaurant, you meet up, are you expecting him to pay?
Yes, absolutely. And first of all, men are chasers, so you gotta be chasing me, so you gotta show me what you got. If you really want me, pay for my food too. I'm serious, like, by nature, they're chasers. So I feel like it's also like an investment. If you want to get to know me and you want to take me out, it's going to be either an investment or it's going to be a loss. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe it won't. Maybe we'll get a second date. Maybe we won't.
Is there a time where you would actually, you know, suggest to meet up and then you would be like, oh, I'll pay for dinner? Or is it always, you think, always the man should do it?
No, I will contribute some of the time. Like, I've been put in a position like where they were running late and they wanted me to order food and they'll go pick it up, and I did it online, but I ended up just paying online for them so that when they pick it up, they don't have to stand in line and pay. So like stuff like that I'll do. Like, I don't expect them, but I feel like that's after like you're pretty established, like let's say like 2 months of dating and stuff, like you reach to that level, I don't mind putting in money. And
my
like
first date, it should always be, you know,
yes. Yeah.
How many you with that?
Yeah, I think first date, or it could be whoever asked. too. I think you should have the expectation. Like me as a female, if I ask a man out on a date, which would never happen.
I know.
That's why. I would have to expect to pay, but I would want him, like I said, to drop for his wallet. But that leads to something else. Like we just established what, as a female, what our expectations are from a gentleman, like on a date, like we expect him to pay. So what are his expectations? Will this be in the next episode? I don't know. Or could we answer it now? I don't know if we have time. But what is, as a man, like what would be your expectation? Now, you know, you got to pay. So what do I got to do?
Well, depends on how much
the meal costs. Okay, I think it goes, we had this discussion, depends on how much the meal costs. You know, like there's tiers to what you need to do. You know,
$100.
$50 is a peck on the kiss. You know what I'm saying? What, $100 is inside, $150 is spending the night?
Before me and Chris get ourselves in trouble here, like in any form of way, I'm just going to say, like, is that for men who think that way, this is not me and Chris, but there are men who think, all right, okay, yeah, well, if I pay over $100 or this meal cost me $200, then I'll be able to getting something. Is that person wrong? But not that they're going to enforce that, but they're hoping.
This is what I said to that question.
$20.
No, I know. Here's my point to that, Cam. When we said expecting something, everybody usually goes and automatically thinks sex. You know, they automatically think sex or something, you know, physical of the woman. I am like, nah, I'm beyond that, yo. If I am actually spending good time and good energy and I am saying the price tag is not what's important. It's what the good time and the good energy cost. Because if I am taking out a stand-up woman, there's certain things that you got to consider. You got to consider her safety. You got to consider what she's wearing, as if it's comfortable. You got to understand the ambiance and if she's going to be comfortable and the people that's around. So fellas listening to me, this is all the things you need to consider in a place before you take a woman, especially if you understand her standards. So if a guy does those particular things and is stand-up, those things cost. So what happens is the night just happens to be expensive. You understand what I'm saying? But if he wants you to have a good time and he wants to have a good time with you, he will take care of it. Now, I said at the end of the night, I am actually not looking for the woman to now be physical or feel that she has to be pressured to do something of that ilk. I'm like, be dope. How about the next day? Probably, obviously, if we leave each other, we know that we like each other, you know, how about send a nice, I don't know, letter, or I don't know what you could do outside of the box to be like, I am thankful, besides a thank you text. That's all I'm saying. I spent $300 on a night and I get a thank you text. I think that's poor. I think women need to be better, especially if you're not going to be like, especially if you're the, I ain't giving up the box and those particular type of things. And I got to wait till it fits. You got to be dope throughout. You just can't wait for this dude to be doling out and taking you on dope events. And then you're just doing nothing. If you could give a massage, give a massage. If you could do certain things or you got hook up somewhere, hook that up. Think outside the box, outside of your box.
I've had a full range of first date purchases. I just want to share from one extreme to the other. Like I had somebody buy me jerk chicken for $10, right? The first time. And it wasn't really a date. It was more like a party. And he was trying to like shoot his shot or whatever. And then I don't know how the conversation went to this, but long story short, he figured out how much I was making and literally asked me to pay him. He's like, you make how much? You need to pay back my $10 for jerk chicken.
A guy found out
weird.
How
did that conversation about how much you make even come
up? I don't remember. I was young and dumb. I don't remember. Maybe I was drunk. I have no idea.
You probably asked. Men act like how women used to act now. So men are asking these questions.
What I did. And then he was like, oh, you probably assumed that I made money and asked for that money back for the $10. It was like $10. But anyway, so that was one thing. But I've had another situation where they spent well over $200. I didn't really ask for that. And it was unfortunate because it was such a magical date, but I didn't like the guy. Like there wasn't chemistry there. Mm-hmm. So, and then it was like, you know, I felt obligated to at least give him another shot and like go on another date. But had I not like cut it off there, it could have easily kept going where I would have felt like I was milking him. And then I would have like honestly felt like a gold digger because I just didn't like him like that. We weren't vibing and he was dishing out a lot of money. So I think that's where, you know, you also as a girl or woman, female, whatever, you have to go.
men will spend what we need to spend in the hope of some type of bad.
I'm like, he's putting in a lot of money, but it didn't make me like him anymore. So I had to like cut it off because I had to be realistic and I didn't want to feel like I was taking advantage of the situation either.
I'm just saying, dope dudes just want dope females to think the way, if I'm going to take you out and I'm going to take you to somewhere probably new and experienced, I'm talking about dope guys. I don't know what these idiot dudes are doing out here. I'm talking about good guys with good intentions and no style and swag. If you have that, he just wants to see if you got that, you know. If he takes you out, give him a good bottle of wine or a good bottle of champagne or something like that. If you see certain things around, you know, understand that particular level because you enjoy it. He enjoys it just as well. And then he will respect you outside of thinking that he has to, you know, you have to provide what we all think you must provide.
Chris, we appreciate your take and I appreciate you in particular coming in and helping fight the good fight with me. Chris has got to go and record another show that we got on vergemagazine.co.uk. But so we'll say goodbye to Chris now.
Appreciate you guys.
We appreciate you, brother. Thank you for joining. So, Camila, you have the next subject.
Sorry. Hold on just a quick second.
Yes. So, I think what Camila was going to ask was...
You see the lights come on now, you guys. This is the thing. When the lights come on, this is... Message to Jensen and Kamni. When the lights come on, you've got to take your opportunity. We, you know, this is the bright spots are on here. I'm stalling for time because I'm hoping that Camila comes back on so we can actually talk about her situation, which I've stalled enough and I've managed to successfully get Camila back on. So Camila, take it away.
Sorry, I don't have the actual statement in front of me, but Kamni, do you have it in front of you?
So your subject was going to be, do you want to date someone or do you just want intimacy?
Okay. All right. So I know that was basically what it is. There was a perfect statement though. I can't pull it up, but so pretty much what it was saying is sometimes you're going to want intimacy. Like you're fine being single. And I think I can also relate to this and a lot of other people where you're fine being single, but there are going to be moments where you want intimacy, but then you don't want to have to always commit and put in effort all the time. And I don't know about anyone else, but me being single, and I've been single for quite a long time, that I've become very comfortable where I'm at being single and being home, not having to go out or make an effort for anybody. But I do have my moments where I do want intimacy, somebody to cuddle with or to talk to. But then I think forward, I'm like, well, I'm going to have to be getting out of my bed, getting ready, sending like good morning texts and doing all those extra stuff. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm really ready for all that. But my hope is just to like maybe somebody can just, you know, I'll book up on somebody and maybe we'll talk and maybe it'll flow. Maybe my mind will change. But honestly, my head's at right now, it's not there. And I think it's something that where guys are more known to be doing stuff like that, where it's actually called a situationship, where they want all the benefits of a relationship, but they don't want to commit. And I think that's the same thing that's what's happening with girls or ladies or females right now. Like, don't you think, Jensen?
Yes, as a former person who's in a situationship. So I've been single for a really long time, but I've been caught up in situationships. And, you know, when you have two options, if you want to actually be in a relationship or do you just want intimacy? for me in particular, I actually want to be in a relationship. But what ends up happening is you have all these individuals in the dating pool that maybe are being a little selfish, or they're just not there at that point in time, and they just want intimacy. So what ended up happening for me is I got caught up in a situationship because that particular person really enjoyed my company, but in terms of just hanging out and intimacy and not so much as being in a relationship. So I think like right now we have a whole crazy like dating pool where there's people that are there just for short periods of time. And then you have people that are actually serious. So then what ends up happening is that people are getting caught up for the wrong reasons. And then, you know, feelings are involved. So it definitely is a rough time to be dating. And so since my last situationship, because sometimes those situationships, when you break up, they could feel even worse than an actual breakup.
So, sorry, just for people who don't know, what is a situationship?
So a situationship is you're basically in a situation, but it's kind of like a relationship, but it's not. So that's where the, you know, the word situation and relationship comes together for situationship. So for, and I think it varies per person or situation. For what it meant for me was, you know, we were basically, we would go out almost like on dates and we would hang out once a week and we talked almost daily, but I never had that title of being a girlfriend and he wasn't a boyfriend. And then there, it wasn't really a clear defined role of who was doing what. So if that person ended up talking to someone else or tried to be with someone else, technically that's where that's the gray area. They could do that because they weren't in a true relationship. And there's certain things that they didn't have to do because you weren't really there. You didn't have that girlfriend title. So they were able to get away with it. Cammy, what's your take on it?
Well, what you described is what I describe a situationship as. But from what you guys are telling me with the whole, it could be that the reason you guys feel like you want it when you want it type of thing is because it's probably you guys haven't met somebody that makes you want to put effort, because it's supposed to feel effortless. But when it doesn't feel effortless, it's making an effort and it sucks. Just like when you have to get up and go to work, like you don't really want to go. You takes effort to do it. But versus like, oh, I really like this person, I really do want to see them, then it doesn't feel like a job or something you have to go out of your way for. And then another aspect that you can look at is a lot of you describing the whole, like, okay, like you just want your own time, but then sometimes I just want to feel intimacy, like to cuddle with somebody to talk to, connect with. That also sounds like a long-term marriage that where you and your husband are kind of like comfortable with each other. So like you guys could be in the same room, but be doing your own thing. Or like, you know, when you look at my parents, they've been married for a long time, like 30 something years. Like my dad can go off and do something, my mom, and she doesn't care, but maybe like tonight, like they want to watch a movie together. So they'll go and watch a movie together in the bed. But most of the time she wants to be in somewhere else and he wants to be in another room. And I know in long-term, with my parents, and I see a lot of people who've been married for a long time, old people, that is like their kind of their dynamic, why they stay together so long, because nobody's all up on each other's grill all the time, like trying to be clingy and weird.
Not to be free.
Like like they kind of give them that because they're so used to each other that they respect each other's individuality. Like they know this is what makes a relationship survive. And it sucks because you got to kind of lose yourself a little bit to accommodate somebody while dating. And that sucks because you want to be selfish. You don't have to give up a little bit of part of yourself to understand someone else. And that takes effort. And it sucks. I'm sorry you guys got to go through that. But it does.
I'm gonna throw a different concept at you guys, because I'm always from a different take on things. I think that human beings, for some reason, we becoming like lemmings, and we kind of follow these rules because they've always been there. And then the rules of relationships are as you want them. So therefore, like if you, I know couples that have their own separate apartments and they live at their own separate apartments. They're very much together, but they live apart and they're happy with that. I know couples that see other people, but they, you know, what would be considered cheating to them isn't the intimacy of sex. It's more that more if you go for a meal with someone, more if you've got a show with someone, more those types of things. So there's no rules. You know, I think that what happens is that people feel that there has to be, for my relationship, it has to be like that person's relationship, or it has to be like that one that I've seen on television. And you got to remember that a lot of these relationships are fabricated, and a lot of the times that people aren't actually happy, or some people just afraid to be actually be alone. And once you actually, I've got a friend who's just getting married pretty soon, and she used to go to restaurants on her own and movies on her own. And so she's getting married now, but she's getting married because she wants to, not because she's needing to. And I think that that's the difference. I think that if you are comfortable with your own company, then there's no fear of, oh man, I have to get married and this might be my last chance. And, you know, oh, the wedding has to be exactly right. Like all of these types of things. It's like the rules are your rules. You may never have a conventional relationship, but does that mean that I'm going to ask you guys, does that mean that you failed or you're not getting what you should get out of life? Is it for other people? You've got to have these types of relationships, because I see you guys individually. I'm not trying to be this suck up feminist guy, but I just see you guys individually as strong, independent people. And I think it's sad if people are feeling bad about themselves because they haven't got what society says you have. Do you see my point, Jensen?
Yeah. So I think after my last situationship, which was 3-4, I don't remember how many years ago, and I've dated since then, but nothing too far into it. Like it didn't go anywhere, but I made myself like a bucket list of things I wanted to do as I was single. And I have like a really cool group of friends, which are here with us today. So everybody knows how dope they are. And so a lot of it was traveling, going places by myself and with my friends and doing stuff I never got to experience. So I just made a bucket list of like learning how to go horseback ride or going to different countries and getting my passport, going back to school. And I've done so many activities since then to keep not myself busy, but like to basically feel fulfilled. That I can actually be, I'm not desperate to jump into a relationship. I'm okay being by myself right now. And if something comes along, it's just going to enhance my life.
Just before I come to Camellia, I was going to ask, like, this bucket list that you have, like things that you want to accomplish, things you want to do, be it leisurely or professionally, does that depend on the relationship? Let's say, for example, you meet Mr. Right tomorrow. Are you going to still carry on these types of lists? Because I know a lot of people who have like kind of can their things because they want to do these things together.
Okay, so my list is pretty much completed, like, and I haven't started a new one. And it was like go swimming with dolphins, go horseback riding, and simple stuff like going to a new coffee shop by myself, like challenging myself to go do stuff by myself or go somewhere with my friends. And most of it has been completed, and it didn't ever depend on anybody else. And it was just something that I wanted to do for myself and experience with the people that I love and that are closest with me. Like to me,
Camellia, do you see my point about the concept of how everyone's making you feel, or not you in particular, but just people?
No, that's actually like what I wanted to talk about is you do get some pressure from your family, from friends, or even some people that you just meet. Like, oh, you're single, you're so beautiful. Oh my god, I can't tell you how much I hate that statement. But you do definitely feel some pressure. And it's just like you said, there's no rules to dating. Like you have to do what works the best for you and the person that you are dating, whether it's having like a monogamous relationship or dating more than one person, like being swingers or whatever. But it's my family, a lot of people in my family are in a relationship, a serious relationship. They're married, they have kids, and you're kind of like that black sheep where it's like, oh well, what's happened to you? Like, you know, so I feel the pressure. I have a cousin actually, when we talk, she's now 44 years old. She got a divorce when she was 31,
And since 31, she's been single. Like, she has not dated anybody. And her whole thing to me is like, don't end up like me. Go out there and find somebody. And I always hear people say, like, it's better to have love than lost than not love at all. So I guess they kind of feel bad for me that, well, maybe I'm missing something out of my life. And I'm just like, sometimes like I said, I have my moments where I want intimacy, but I honestly don't feel like I'm missing anything. Like, I'm fine being single. But because of what society or other people, they are going to judge me. Like, why are you single? Like, why are you even happy being single? Like, they're questioning me. And that's what makes me feel uncomfortable.
But can I jump in? Yeah, I was just going to come to you, Camden. Like, I was going to say, like, you know, obviously, you know, you're in a relationship. You know, the end of the day is that, you know, do you subscribe to the whole, you know, I think you and I collectively may know a lot more people that are unhappy in relationships but stay there just because of what society says than not. But what was you going to say?
Well, I was going to just say, build upon what Camellia said, it just sucks that when it comes to how people view relationships, what they should be like, conventional relationships, and if it didn't work out with them, it's like, why do you put your, I'm going to call them demons, like, why do you put that on other people? Like, it's not my problem that you got a divorce at 31 and you didn't go out. Like, your time frame is different from mine. Like, I don't stop living because you're like, you felt like your life ended at 31. Doesn't mean my life ended at 31. My life could be just beginning. And if I fall in love at 45, 50, who cares? My time frame is different. What you put stock into is not what I should have to be put stock into. And we as women try to be strong and try not to let people's feelings like affect us, but it does affect us. But you have to tell yourself, no, this is your timeline. And that has nothing to do with me. Like, it doesn't. And when it comes to conventional relationships, my relationship is not conventional. If you see me and Chris out, maybe you might not even know we're dating. Sometimes I'm not standing next to him.
But is that something, obviously, I'm just asking from a guy's point of view, because I think you know, it's quite interesting when you have these conversations, you end up seeing that there's a lot of guys that we know that are in the same exact situation, that are getting the same exact comments, that feel exactly the same way. And it's not particularly for them. They don't really want to, or might not be prepared to be able to just kind of settle down with one particular person because they want to see the world, or they want to stay around, or they're just like, you know, meeting different people. So there's that stigma that actually goes on to a lot of people that are not in conventional relationships.
Which everyone should feel like, if they want to see the world and if they feel like having a partner might stop that, then they should. But the right partner would want to go see the world with you, or you go see the world and then you meet somebody that is just dope and it kind of changes your plans. But don't think that, oh, because it changed my plans that I need to not continue with this person. Sometimes some things are just meant to be. You met this person and they're dope. You don't just be like, oh, well, I'm going to still travel. Like, hey, you know, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm doing right now. I don't know if this fit. I don't think you should just like give up somebody that you meet, because it's rare when you meet somebody that you just click with. So I think women need to also consider that too, that you can deviate from your plan a little bit. And when I say deviate from your plan, not lose your individuality and what your long-term goals are. But for the time being, like, your life is not going to end if you meet somebody and you put this trip off because you want to get to know them, because you know what, in due time, you can take another trip. That's
exactly
just what I'm saying.
You see, we're all supporting each other here. You guys are amazing people. So at the end of the day is that whether you're with someone or not, you're still going to be amazing. It doesn't matter. And we're going to move on to another could be funny conversation that Gentile is going to bring into with, you know, effectively what makes someone instantly unattractive. Gentile, I'll let you take this one away.
So let me set the stage with a personal story. So I'm on date 5, right? Things are going great. Like, super attractive guy, and dressed really well. And, you know, we're vibing. He finally made it to my condo. So, like, it's this type of date. And, you know, the night's ending, we spent a couple of hours just talking on the couch. And then so he goes to leave. And before he leaves, he turns to me and he's like, "Are you ready for some smoochies?" End quote.
Oh my God.
And at that very moment, he was no longer attractive to me. It was dumbfounded.
He might have been being cute or something. He might have been like,
No, she was right. She was right for that. That's
their
that first date. Actually, had on shiny shoes.
Yeah, he had shiny shoes. I looked past the shiny shoes, you know. And
thank Jesse, I didn't realize how much stupidness and foolishness you've encountered.
I have stories for days, guys. So anyway, so you know, and that goes like, what do you find unattractive? So and I you know, beauty is in the eye of beholder, and people that I have dated, I may have found attractive, and other people are like, well, why are you talking to that person? Like, physically you could pull someone a little bit better. So what I find attractive, other people don't. And it really is, I like when I can hold a conversation with someone, but this one was like, he was physically attractive, but once he pulled out the, "Are you ready for smoochies?" That was it. It was unattractive. So that's one thing. And then the second thing that I find unattractive is just personality. It's really, for me, personality and whether we have a vibe or not.
Kamini, what's your view on things that can make someone instantly unattractive?
Oh, somebody that downgrades their own culture, race, or nationality to
some Republicans
to impress me. Like, if they're of a different race or culture, they think it's cute maybe to talk bad about why they don't date women in their culture or their race because they think it would impress me, but it doesn't. I'm like, isn't that your mom and your sister, you traitor, mm-hmm. you Judas? That's how I look at you.
Yep.
That's how I look at you.
Mm-hmm. Kamini coming in hot again. Kamini, Camilla, what makes people instantly unattractive to you?
Well, physically, definitely like bad hygiene. I'm like a mouth person, a teeth person. That's actually like one of the first things that I notice. So it probably will never work out with me and Brit.
Why? You see, I knew you
were so much tea. I think they
how
so
did
much
I
tea.
Know that you were gonna come back?
And also there is this thing, okay? I don't know if people are as in tune as I am, but when you attract somebody, you like their spank. But when you're not attracted to somebody, all of a sudden you become stink to you. And that I have that happen to me. And actually that's happened to Gentine. And that's also very unattractive that their pheromones are not mixing with my nose. And it's just like, it's a no.
Yes.
And then also, he said, because that's actually happened to me not once, but twice with some men. So that's so unattractive.
Can they start talking, ragging about their culture?
Yes, they're and who they are, their skin color, and I'm just like, no, foodie, go love yourself.
It could be culture, race, nationality, something, but if I hate when you downplay, like, you know, I don't date Jamaican women, or I don't date Black women, or I don't date Indian, like, it, okay, but that's your mom, or your dad, or your sister, and you probably got a child that's that race, because knowing today, they probably got a child. So when you say something like that, it's just a turn off, and I look at them like a Judas. Like, you can't even hold your own people up.
Yeah.
So
don't do that. Don't play down your own people to impress another woman that may be of a different culture. If she's a good woman, she wouldn't think that's cute. I don't think she should. Said, if she's a good
you know,
woman.
You know what? Like, actually, it's funny enough. Like, there's some people I know who always like kind of come out with, for me, I don't understand why they do this, but they say, oh, I don't date men of my own color. You know, I won't say who or what, because they know who I'm talking about. But I find that strange when people just say, well, I have a specific type and I only like that. I find that quite unattractive, because if you say, oh, I only ever date Black men, then I'm like, for me, is, you know, you may be right for the wrong for you. It feels like, you know, your score might be high for, mm-hmm. for me, and you might date a lot of people, and I'm not really, I wouldn't really be interested in that. Another thing, a massive thing for I would say definitely, I'll speak on Chris's behalf as well, is that fun people. There are some people that just like literally kind of, you know, they might look aesthetically amazing, but then they're like, you know, they'll go to the beach and be like, oh, no, I don't want this. I don't want the sand on me. I don't want this. And that, like, just people that just don't know how to have fun.
Yeah,
uptight. I can't I can't actually even friends or just literally just, you know, just hanging out with people, male or female. If you are uptight or you're always like kind of looking around, you know, looking over your shoulder, or you're kind of, you're not in the moment. You're not just enjoying the stupid conversation that we're all having and joking and laughing and drinking. Then I find it difficult to be around you, really. So it's that, like, you know, we had a friend who came to the beach with us, and she had a full set of makeup on, and I'm thinking, you know, some people do that, that's cool, but it's like, I was like, well, how are you going to enjoy yourself, you know? And she's like, oh no, I don't want to touch the sand, I don't want this, and I don't want that, and it's just like, it just became the longest day at the beach ever, and I love the beach. Those who knows me, I could get off the plane.
Should have told her to get Laura Mercier setting powder.
Well, now I know. I should have said that. You know,
what about Laura Mercier setting powder? Because that make a bold move, even if you swim.
Oh, you know, Dre, hold on. Because, you know, we went on a boat together, Dre, and on the beach, and we were on a boat, and I was wearing a full set of makeup. That like a full face of makeup.
No, but you're that, what I say is, well, is you
I'm both different, talking about.
But
no, I was in the water. He has a video.
No, but you was not. The difference is that you're fun. You know, all of you guys are fun. Like, you know, we can joke around and laugh around. Like, there's no one there if we was all to go out, who's just going to be like a stick in the mud. You know, I do find it difficult to that kind of relax if someone's in the corner being like. Like, you know, why did you come out? Like, just leave everyone else to have fun, you know? I used to be like that about people who didn't drink. I used to find it uncomfortable to be around. If someone's like, no, I'm not drinking, then I'd be like, okay, well, you know, you're going to judge me for the amount that I'm about to consume, because it's going to be a lot.
I get that. Well, nothing with that. I'd just be like, oh, sucks for you. I get that. It's just like when a guy takes a girl out on a date and all she can eat is a salad. Like, girl, she's gonna go in. I'm
taking a whole you guys know I have an Instagram addiction, but Lord have mercy, some people just take pictures so much of the food and they don't actually eat it, so they'll order the food and they'll be like, oh, I don't really want to eat much of it.
So
they
just want could it be me? It. Could it be me? I would never be me. I'm eating it.
I would have to wait for me. I'll be like, hey, you gonna start without me? My food ain't
well, you yet. Know what, Dre? Not that I'm uptight, but I am a little scornful. So there are like certain stuff I won't do, but not because I'm too stush, you know, as you know, Jamaican people say, but you know, like if you guys were out in the water and it was like murky water, I'm not going in. Oh, yeah. Like I'm going to act uptight. So I am scornful. So I don't know.
Are we talking about like ocean water? You won't go into, let's say we go to beach, clear water.
But now you're making me think like, have I been put in positions? Because sometimes I'm scornful towards a lot of things. So maybe people thought I was uptight. My bad.
We were all talking about Camila.
My bad.
No, I think there's times where it depends on what type of people you're around, but like, it might be me. It might be me who's like, you know, if someone wants to just jump from a cliff into the ocean. Yeah. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that because now in my luck, I'll slip and I'll be the person that gets carried away from by air ambulance or something like that. So there's those types of things. I think that we all have been in a situation where we have been that person who's the stick in the mud. We might not have been in the mood to party. Maybe Jensine is different because I see the way that she jumped from that boat into that ocean. I was just like
clear water on Miami Beach.
It was I was quite worried, you know, especially with the captain that she left us with as well, who I won't name. But that
I thought that he was gonna sink the boat. My uncle would have
I won't name the captain, but like there was like a distribution problem there. As soon as everyone else just
I'm just assume jump that's why me and Camila couldn't go, because then our weight would have caused the boat to just collapse.
Yeah, no, you would have helped, like because you know,
oh, we would have helped balance.
I was just like, you know, I better stay on this side because. just in case. Anyway, I will move off of there, guys. Just before we wrap up for this week, obviously we've got us, you're listening now. We've got if you've missed the first episode, go back and listen to it. It's all on all good providers: Spotify, Deezer, Apple Podcasts, so forth and so forth. But you know, I was going to ask you guys, because obviously we're getting closer and closer, especially in the UK, to a countdown to when we're going to be free to be able to travel. Where is the first place you guys are going to go? And you cannot say Jamaica because it's too easy. Where is the first place that you guys are going to travel to that you haven't been to before when the vaccine properly hits everyone and we can all travel? I will start because Jensine looks like she's ready. Jensine, go for it.
So I actually have 3 trips already booked, and I'm working on hopefully a half a trip. So 3.5 maybe.
Okay. These are places you haven't been before.
Yeah, so one is I haven't been 1.5. So 4th of July, Independence Day for us in the US. I'm gonna do a quick family reunion. We have a Airbnb to go to the mountains of North Carolina. It's all the way up there, and then close to Asheville. So there's the Biltmore Mansion. It's this huge estate, and probably go into that. So that's what I have booked, and then hopefully I have another trip planned for my birthday. Maybe we'll see where that goes.
So where are you thinking then? So what place you haven't been to?
For my birthday, New Orleans, but for sure next year I definitely want to either go. I've been thinking about going to Alaska and maybe flying over the pond to go visit you guys at the UK. Those are my two.
That's what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear people coming over here.
Camilla, but next year.
Where are you going? And one of these trips better be London.
Well, I actually got vaccinated on Sunday. So I have a trip planned at the end of the month. I'm actually going to the Disney parks and then camping. So I'm actually excited about that. And then after, I haven't really thought about exactly where I wanted to go. I mean, yes, I do say I wanted to go take a trip to go visit you, Jay, because I want to experience London. And in between that, I have told myself I kind of miss cruising. I like cruising, so I would like to go on a cruise. I don't care where the destination be, perhaps new places. I've been to a few of the islands, so maybe new islands. I wouldn't mind that.
Camden, you got to bring us home with now with something big now. Where are we going?
Oh, no. I don't know where we're going.
I saw your brain just ticking over, just like, where the hell am I going to say I'm going? Come on now. You got to give me something. Somewhere you've always wanted to go that you haven't been to yet, because someone listening might be like, actually, I might do that too.
Okay. Well, yeah, no. I would like to go to New Orleans with Jensine. I would like to go on a cruise, like Camilla said, like Alaska or something. That'd be dope. Also, if I'm not going to really go all out, of course, I'd want to come to like visit over there in London.
Yeah.
I also thought about like, you know, in the UK, they do like these train rides all throughout Europe. Those look so dope, and then you stay on the train. Also, I want to go to Dubai. I want to go to the UAE, but I need to afford that flight, because knowing me, I'm gonna want to fly out, like jump out of the plane and swim, because I can't be on a regular plane because I hate flying in a small seat.
I must say, like I think the only place that I've been looking to be able to go to that is a long haul flight is obviously coming over seeing you guys and my family.
So
in
my
Miami.
Dad told me about something about the Concorde back in the day, the Concorde that you go to Europe in 2 hours and they stop back.
And it used to like go up like a rocket, and it only was like a 2 hour flight from like here to like London. Only 2 hours.
Yeah, so it wouldn't go to Miami, but it would go from London to New York within 2.5 hours. Right. Okay. Thank you guys for listening for another week or another episode of our amazing new podcast, The Drop. Please give it some love and tell your friends and your friends' friends and your friends' friends' friends. So yeah, check out our episodes that are going to be on vergemagazine.co.uk. If you've missed this episode, if you missed the first episode, please go back and listen to it. It's really good. You know, these guys are amazing. We're trying to show them love. These guys are going to be the next big stars, bigger than I will ever be. Not that I've been a star, but they will be. They are my stars, and they will be, you know, I'm very sure big names in the future. So get to know them now before they blow up. Anyway, on that before I talk.
Let's manifest it.
Gone. Okay. All right, we'll catch you guys next week. Peace.